No Things Considered, Channel Q.
No Things Considered begins again for you and yours right now. It's a show that you will either learn to love or quickly hate. But either way, Allie is here, I am here, and we are talking about things going on in our lives and in the world. And Allie, before we start a brand new week, I don't want to start on a negative note here.
Oh, you don't? Are you sure about that?
Well, would you have judged me if I told you that I am currently parked in a handicap spot?
That's not the first time you've done this.
Oh, it,
and
well,
you got a ticket for doing that because somebody called you out.
No.
Now you're doing it again.
Historically, you're inaccurate. I sat in my car in a handicap spot while waiting for
pizza. Right?
while waiting for my friend on crutches to walk his way to me. No. I think I did that one time when it was one of those things where my wife was running in to pick up food. I was sitting in. There was nowhere to put the car, so I was sitting there. Clearly in the car, so if a big van or a tiny bus or something pulled up, I could have immediately moved out of the way and given that spot to someone who needs it.
Mm-hmm, right. So because you're sitting in your car, it suddenly makes it okay. And the paratransit bus, when they come, you would definitely get out of the way for them?
Yeah, of course. If anyone was making their way towards that spot that had a placard or someone was limping over, I would move.
Somebody was limping over from their faraway parking spot. Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me move. Hold on.
Walk back. Limp back to your car and move it.
Now you are officially parked. You're not in your car currently, and you have parked in a handicap spot.
All right. Here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you if I did or didn't park in the handicap spot yet, but let me just give you my reasoning for why I think it would be okay. Where we work right now. Listen, if you're at a shopping mall, you don't know the situation there. You don't know who's coming, who's going. Bunch of handicaps could show up at the same time. You can't take that spot. That spot is available.
Handicap bingo, it's time.
Right, you don't know. Maybe there's a big sale on one-legged jeans at the Gap. Whatever the case may be, you need to leave
it's
those
bigger gap.
Leave those spots available, right? here at the Channel Q studios, we work in a building, and there's a parking garage that corresponds or correlates. I'm not sure what the right word is. See, I'm mentally handicapped as well, but
you're actually proving your case, believe it or not.
Thank you.
You should not be walking far.
By the end of this sentence, I'm going to earn that spot. We know.
You know who's handicapped and who's not. Is that your point?
There's a ground level where every single person could park or not park if they're visiting, and there's no shortage of handicapped spots available. No shortage. And I think there's a valet, et cetera.
It's like hospital level.
Right.
How many handicapped... Like, you go to a hospital, there's like an entire parking lot just for handicapped
spots. Whole level of a parking garage is just handicapped.
Right.
So we have that here, right? Then you go up to the second level or the third level where we are, and there are still handicapped spots available, but now you're at a point where you're only dealing with other people that are working in the building. Because if they're visiting, they're downstairs. And I know who works here in the building. Every day when I get here, every single spot is taken. And guess what's available? 5 handicap spots on the second floor.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the 50 handicap spots available on the first floor. And of course.
So did you park in all 5?
I found a way to take my car apart and put a piece of it in each spot, which was really why I'm so winded right now. It was a lot of heavy lifting.
But I would not even have the mentality. Say I'm driving up and I can't find a spot and I pass 5 parking spots that are handicapped that are free. The thought wouldn't even enter my mind of, hey, you know what? Why don't I just park in one of those spots? I immediately go, okay, I got to go up another level, even to the dreaded roof. Where there is a lot of parking because nobody ever wants to park there. But that thought wouldn't even enter my mind as a possibility. So the fact that you are already weighing the options of, oh, because we're in our building and we know who the handicapped people are already, that already makes you a bad person.
I'm just saying, if we put one of those cameras on that spot and monitored it, a time lapse over the course of like a month, I don't think a car goes into those spots.
No, I think it's just like
until
people
today.
Smoking cigarettes.
Right. It's like, right. There's just no one. They just go unused. So to me, it's more of a, this is wasted. This is, I'm not going to get into an argument over whether or not handicapped people should have special or preferred parking. Absolutely. I'm on board with that all day long.
Just the one person who's like, nope, I don't think we should do it anymore.
But I also think if I were handicapped, and there have been times I've had a variety of different injuries in my life that have made me temporarily handicapped, right? I've had broken foot and broken this and broken that. I've broken a lot of bones. If I wasn't using a spot.
That time you got worms?
The pinworms was not a. That's unfortunate. It does not qualify you for a handicap spot.
I don't know. I think walking looked uncomfortable.
I was very itchy, but it did not qualify me for special parking. Regardless, thanks for bringing that up. I was finally, the gay community had totally embraced me now, but I think having pinworms is like the equivalent of having backdoor crabs. So I don't think they want me anymore.
Well, that's why they relate. They're like, oof, I'm with you.
But I know these spots are not being used, and I know that it, even if I were to park in one, it would not stop a handicapped person from being able to access the building. In fact, as you know, if they were to park downstairs, they get to take a nice elevator ride all the way up to where they need to go. They park on this on our level. There's a variety of different obstacles and bridges and ramps. It's like an American Ninja Warrior course just to get in the building. Why would they want to deal with that? I feel like if anything, by me blocking off the handicap spots,
you're helping them.
I think I'm indirectly helping them. I mean, I know no one will look at it that way. It's a hard argument to make, but I'm just saying, if a smart person were to look at this situation, they would say, God, that Kevin is a hero, what he's doing for the less fortunate.
No. I think the concept of the handicapped parking spot, you have to have more than enough because handicapped parking is sort of like getting insurance. It's something that you plant, like it's a just-in-case thing. So, yeah, maybe those spots are never being used and the majority of the time they're being wasted, but they're there for that one freak chance that all of a sudden, oh my God, there's some, like, this building has been turned into a handicapped person evacuation center, and they all need to rush in here at once, and they're not going to have enough parking. So that's why they exist. That's why they have to stay open. And the fact that you parked in one of those spots
I didn't say that yet.
Little handicapped placard thing on your license plate or hanging from your dash, that obviously makes you a douchebag to everybody in the building.
Well, okay.
You can't walk to your car now.
So by your rationale, if I had a placard or a special plate or a sticker, then I'm not a douchebag. Even though we know for a fact there are lots of people that have either fake ones or expired ones that they still use, or they actually still qualify for handicap placards, and so they have them and they always use them, park for free at meters, etc., even though they technically do not have a handicap. I got a buddy who gets one because he's got an issue with his legs, and sometimes his issue flares up, but 99% of the time his issue is not flared up, but he doesn't say, well, I'm not going to take the close spot today. He takes the spot and he puts up the placard. I think he's a worse person than I am because he's taking advantage of the system, whereas I, if I had, and I've not yet admitted to parking in a handicapped spot, it was one of these situations where after circling our garage 15 times for like the 10th day in a row and no spots being available and knowing that we had to get in here to get on the air, I was thinking to myself every time, I almost feel like that guy in the little handicapped wheelchair in the parking spot starts to kind of mock me every time I drive by. Just smile.
Like, you can't park here.
It feels like I'm being taunted, really. And so I just wanted to know if you would think less of me had I done that.
Well, yes, the answer is I do think less of you for having done that, because I still think, like, yeah, that guy who is using that handicap placard even though he doesn't need it, that is also BS. You shouldn't abuse the system. That being said, my grandfather, before he passed away, he had he had one that had no end date. It was like, you just have this forever.
Oh, man.
And we would, it was like musical placards.
He was literally grandfathered in
to a handicapped
plaque. Yeah.
Yeah. So we basically used it whenever we had to. It was like,
use
this? No, but this was years ago.
Doesn't
now
matter.
I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
That's horrible. It's a horrible thing for you to do as part of the LGBT plus community. That plus includes handicap.
You know, then maybe the people who think that I'm a crazy abomination.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a quote unquote handicap according to them. So maybe I deserve a parking spot.
Well, let me just tell you, after putting long and hard consideration and circling the lot as many times as I did, I decided to not park in the handicap spot. Instead, I parked in the spot that was reserved salesperson of the month or whatever. So I've taken a reserve spot from another.
Wait, they have a spot?
Yeah. I think like if you're the person who sells the most advertising or something, you get a special parking spot. And I decided I would feel less bad taking a spot from an able-bodied person who apparently sells a lot of commercials than I did. So the handicap
spot. The only person who's making us money in this building.
Is available. I know we're not doing that. That's why. There are no spots reserved for us.
Well, I parked in Tesla parking, so.
All right, so good. We've both taken spots that were not for us. Beautiful.
That charger's just sitting there.
We got a good show planned for you today. We'll get into it officially next. This is the all-new Channel Q, a show called No Things Considered.
No Things Considered. We'll be right back. Channel Q. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
It is No Things Considered. Good to have you with us here. Thanks for letting us hang out in your ear holes for a bit. You can catch us each and every day right here on the all-new Channel Q. That is Allie right there, gay lady. Kevin right here, straight man. And for those of you that are new checking us out, thank you. Maybe you're not aware of the Radio.com app. It allows you to listen to us pretty much anywhere, anytime, from the car, into the house, into the office. Maybe you got to get one of those waxing appointments that people seem to do. You can listen to us the entire time you're being waxed. And wow. I got news for you. We will be the more painful thing.
You have waxing money, you're doing well.
Yeah, things are okay for you. I just wait. I say eventually it'll all fall out. That's kind of, I'm going with the time for my hair removal technique.
I mean, if you have waxing money, then you have to have consistent waxing money because you're not just going to get a one and done and then move on. You have to get consistently waxed.
Well, I think, I don't know this for a fact, I'd have to look it up, but I would imagine one of the top Groupon things involves waxing. I just feel like there's a variety of different waxing options, and I think when you see it and you
in different countries now too, Brazilian waxing.
Yeah, you lock in, and next thing you know, you've got like 60 waxes booked, you know. But then, there's always a catch or something like that. Like they don't wax on the weekdays or before 7 a.m. or something. You know how it is.
I have a question for you because I know Valentine's Day is coming up. It's just a few days away, and I'm actually not spending Valentine's Day with my significant other this week.
That's the way to do it.
Which is going to be the cheapest Valentine's Day I've ever had, which, I mean, this year I am getting a free pass. But in general, I feel like every single year, you have to top the year before that. And I think, I was thinking about this on the way here, I think that it's straight people's fault. I think that straight people are actually ruining Valentine's Day in a lot of ways.
Let me just ask you, if I made the same statement about something, if I said, well, gay people are really ruining whatever.
Life.
I couldn't get away with saying that. Not even on this station, but anywhere. You're now blaming straight, us heteros, us breeders?
No, here's why. So
if your parents weren't straight, you wouldn't be here, Allie. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but then that doesn't mean that they are, that just reinforces that they're ruining life.
That's right. No, I agree. Your parents have done a great disservice for humanity by making you.
No, here's my reasoning. So straight couples, heteronormative quote unquote couples, men and women don't really understand each other that well. So a woman is saying, okay, for Valentine's Day, I'm expecting this guy to do A, B, and C for me, right? Bring me flowers, get me chocolates. They have this expectation of what Valentine's Day is going to be like. The guy in the relationship is going, I don't know what the hell she wants. I'm just going to go way over the top, and I'm going to spend like $400 on dinner, and I'm going to get the biggest teddy bear I can find, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. So they are overcompensating because they don't want to piss off the woman. They don't want to, you know, get on the S list, so to speak. So they are like basically exceeding expectations every single year. Then us gays, like the bar gets raised by the straight people all the time. So then we feel like we have to do extra stuff every Valentine's Day. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think,
because we understand each other. I understand my female wife.
Well, then you should.
We
have
can
to
both
do...
go, okay, we're not going to do anything crazy for Valentine's Day, and we actually accept that and both do it because we understand each other very well. But I feel like there's this disconnect with the women and the men, and just like, well, I don't know what she really means. If she says she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day, I don't know. I'm just going to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower and propose.
So let me ask you this then. You have gotten flowers before from your wife unexpectedly. Your girlfriend sent you flowers. Remember that? That time she sent them? I forget. It was one time. They were really ugly flowers. You made fun of how ugly they were. You said, never bring this up on the air.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
But you were.
But now I'm pissed.
But you were surprised, and you were. You could tell you were taken aback and also super appreciative, right? You were completely completely unexpected, and you reacted in the way that I think a lot of women would react to getting surprise flowers. Even people that claim, I don't like flowers, don't waste money on flowers, they die in a week.
I would never tell anyone to buy me flowers.
Right.
But yes,
but
even, I would be happy if I received them.
You, like, when they brought them to you, you're like, I don't think they're for me. They're like, they say for Allie. You're like, no, they must be for another Allie. And then the card was, like, signed from your wife, and you're still like, I don't still think these are meant for me. You couldn't even fathom the concept that you were surprised with flowers. But then you had a moment where I think you really appreciated it. You were surprised. You were not expecting it, and you liked the idea that you were surprised with. And I don't know if you were acting that way because you felt like you had to act that way, or you were just one of those moments where you're like, oh, this is really nice. I can't
believe it's always nice to get something,
but
it's not like I'm expecting that, and it's not like I'd be mad that I did not get flowers.
But on Valentine's Day, which there's a lot of pressure around it, and I think the pressure, you blame straight people for jacking up the pressure. I blame social media. I blame Instagram, because before I can even show up with two dozen roses to wake my wife up with, which would be a very nice gesture, and I'm not planning on doing that, she's probably already seen someone that woke up to 7,000 roses on Instagram. And as a result,
but it's probably another guy doing it for a girl.
Maybe it is, or maybe it's a GD flower shop that's promoting. It's a promoted tweet, and it's messing up my entire life. I think that, if anything, the gays have made Valentine's Day way better. And not only that, I think the gays have made it so...
I don't know your point, but I agree.
I'll tell you my point, is that when you go to a restaurant, it used to be, if you wanted to take advantage of a Valentine's Day special, and it's almost never a special. It's usually they jack the price up, like everything. One day, flowers are $5 a dozen. Then on Valentine's Day, they jack them up to $50 a dozen. Then the next day, they're day-old flowers. They're back to $1. You know, they go back in price.
I mean, you bringing two dozen flowers, the roses, to your wife sounds extremely expensive.
Yeah, but not if you buy them yesterday, like I did. Just keeping them in the freezer. Isn't that what you do with them?
Is that what you do?
I think so. They're like it's like corn. You just keep it in the freezer. It lasts forever, right?
I got you two dozen roses and a turkey cutlet. There you go.
Happy Valentine's Day. But I think that what happened is, for a long time, you had to go to take advantage of any Valentine's Day deal. It had to be a man and a woman together. So that meant if I wanted to go somewhere with a buddy of mine, if I wanted to go with a friend and have one of those lunches where they were given free champagne or something because it was Valentine's Day, now they don't want to come across as being homophobic or judgmental. So you go to lunch with anyone, another two girlfriends hanging out, having a good time. They're going to bring you the treats. They're going to bring you the heart-shaped souffle at the end, complimentary, to celebrate your love with oozing chocolate, because they just assume that maybe you're a gay couple as well. And so I think a lot of straights are getting to take advantage of the confusion or the we don't want to offend mentality that we all have right now, which is, I think, a beautiful thing.
Why limit it to two people? Then the polyamorous community should be making Valentine's Day even better, because then you can just go out with a bunch of your friends and get some kind of discount and be like, we're all in a relationship. It's Valentine's Day. You're like, but there's six of you.
Well, people,
you're like, yeah, we're all together.
That's the one group that I feel like is the most discriminated against, because I think that businesses will either really cater to couples or they'll cater to single people on Valentine's Day. That's usually when they decide, hey, all you single people, forget your lame couples that'll be sharing fondue. Come here.
Jimmy Dean is here for you.
Right. Now, they'll say, like, it's not usually the frozen food aisle.
Okay.
That's always catering to single people. But I'm saying, like, a restaurant or a bar that's doing, like, a, come on, single, everyone is here.
Oh, do they do that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's
because
awesome.
They know it's a big market, and they're like, let's have fun. And I think people think they're going to find love on Valentine's Day. So they go, they're like, we don't need to cater to the people in relationships. Let's get all the single people here, the people that are unhappy in relationships, and maybe they find their next, their next fling. Meanwhile, the polyamorous community, like you're talking about, no one's really catering to them.
No. I mean, if there's a relationship, let's say there's a guy and two women, and they are in a happy relationship together, and they decide they want to celebrate Valentine's Day, what restaurant? They're going to walk into a restaurant, and they're like, table for two? It's like, no, we're three. They're not going to ask or assume that you're there for Valentine's Day. They're just going to assume that you're some friends going out to dinner. So they probably have to really drive the point home that, no, we are in a relationship. And then even then, I bet the management would probably think they were lying.
All right, let's go polyamorous people. Let's find you a place. Cheesecake Factory, it's your move. All right, you've got the space. Make it happen now. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself now as the polyamorous destination for all Valentine's Day?
Yeah. I mean, one piece of cheesecake would feed like four people.
Yeah, it's the perfect slice for a polyamorous couple. One person can be bloated because they're lactose intolerant, and the other two can have sex. It's a beautiful night. But back to your original point. You think the straights have raised the bar?
Yeah, I think they've jacked up the prices and made it more pressure on the gays.
I disagree, but what I think it is there will be, like there is every year, a viral video. You won't believe what this, it's now it's just one random person. It could be a gay couple, could be a straight couple. It's whatever the most elaborate, over-the-top Valentine's Day thing is. That now, it used to be like, I wouldn't know about it because it happened in Wyoming, but now because it's going to go viral and it's going to be viewed by everyone, everyone's going to share it, no matter what you do, if you go with the traditional stuff, it's going to seem, you know,
you're like,
lame
you didn't,
in comparison.
Right. You're right. Like, you gave me 2 dozen roses, but were you doing it as you skydove
right.
through the air and hold a will you marry me sign?
No,
no
and
you,
you
didn't.
Can't do that. And once you've done the proposal thing, which now you've done and I've done, that is where things peak, because from then on, you can't
all
really.
All you have is divorce proposals.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Flying out of a
I will jump
parachute.
Out
will
of a
you
plane
divorce me?
With her and one parachute. We'll be back after these words on the all new Channel Q. This is No Things Considered.
No Things Considered. Channel Q. We'll be right back. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
Channel Q, thanks for hanging out with us. It is a show called No Things Considered. That right there is Allie. My name is Kevin. We sit around, talk about some things, and you can hang out with us anytime, pretty much all day long on the radio.com app. Or if you're interested, you can check us out on Twitter, NTC Show. It's a great place to follow us specifically. You can find Allie at Your Allie Johnson. That is a generic name, as generic as they come, and you can find her right there. In fact, I believe last week after the State of the Union address, there was an Allie Johnson that was trending. Allison Johnson, I believe, was her name.
What? Why? What did she do?
She did something way more interesting
really
than you did.
Yeah.
She's already a better version of you.
Damn it.
She was trending, though, and I got really excited for a moment. Maybe it was Amanda Johnson. Either way, it was one of those generic Johnson names, and it was doing quite well.
Well, I mean, you know that I have... There are so many Allison Johnsons that... Allison Johnson, Allie Johnson, the Allie Johnson, and Allie Johnson. Like, every single variation was taken, which is why I had to end up with Your Allie Johnson. And then I still think, like, I took the last spelling of your, you know.
It's generic as hell, but anyway, you are not generic. I was trying to say a nice thing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, even though the name is. You don't let, that's one of the things we can learn from this radio station is don't be fooled by first appearances, right? You got to get to know people beyond skin level.
Yeah. Just listen to our sexy voices. That'll definitely keep you engaged.
I know we've talked about this before. You are definitely not what some people would call a gold star lesbian in the sense that you had relationships with guys before. And then you made a decision at some point, right? You said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with putting on this charade. I'm now comfortable enough, confident enough, mature enough, whatever the case was, that I want to start living my real life.
I don't want to put on charades. I just want to play charades with a nice lady.
And that's what she did. She's still trying to figure out.
We still do it today.
Still trying to figure out what movie it is. Three syllables. Well, I'm curious because I have a friend that is going through something, and I was wondering if you ever think about the last guy you dated before you officially...
Boyfriend or just sex?
Well, I think I would want to say boyfriend because you at some point there was a guy and you said to the guy, maybe not, I don't even know the answer to this, but I would imagine at some point you said, we got to break up. It's not you. It's I'm gay. Or some variety of that.
I think that the last boyfriend, God, I can't even remember. I think the last boyfriend I had, I broke up with them because I was going to date another woman. But I didn't say I was gay. I was just like, I want to be with this girl now.
I'm sure he got the hint when you rollerbladed off hand in hand with your new lover.
No. I think he got the hint when I asked him to drop me off at her house.
Oh, yeah. That's a good indication.
I was very shameless about it.
Do you think that is in general, as far as breakups go, do you think that that is one of the more difficult things for someone to accept? Because I do think that I'm speaking as a straight guy, I would think to my, I would think if that happened. Now, part of me would think, hey, of all the reasons I've been broken up with, this one really has nothing to do with me. So I'm still cool here. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I've been dumped in the past because, you know, I let myself go physically, or I wasn't fun anymore, or
parked
I
in a handicap spot when you weren't supposed to.
Didn't park in a handicap spot. I sat in the car. But a variety of different things that were things I did. Whereas if I got, if my wife left me and she said, I've been gay and now I'm finally proud enough to say I'm a lesbian and I'm going to go start dating women.
If that was the case, I would just tell her to start her own channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She should definitely be publicizing that for all to see.
I don't know if I would take that harder or if I would take that...
You would take it real
hard. No, if I went out as gay, I would take it harder. Would I take that... Would that be easier to stomach or would that be more difficult because I have a friend who's going through something and the advice I gave, which... And I always use you. I'm like, listen, I got a good gay friend, and let me tell you, she went through this, and you'll get through it too. But
so what's the deal with the? Well, so his girlfriend doesn't want to be with him because she's gay.
He was engaged to a girl, and he said he always knew that she was kind of like open. You know, I didn't really want to put a title on what she was, but open to everything. And she kind of alluded to the fact that she maybe wants to call off the engagement because she thinks that that's going to switch her into being kind of just a typical, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing.
A boring straight chick?
A basic bitch. And she likes, she's afraid that she's not going to be able to pursue other, I mean, that's an engagement ring in general.
I'm very afraid that this is going to limit me.
Yeah, it's almost like this ring is handcuffs on my genitals. I know. And I said, listen, that's a bummer because, you know, you were planning on this and everything else, but you didn't do anything wrong unless she's using it as an excuse. It sounds like she's just...
Yeah, but once you reach engagement level, I think you're not allowed to use excuses anymore.
Well,
I think you have to be honest by that point.
Yeah,
because
but,
there's a lot more at stake. It's not just like, hey, I went on a couple of dates with you. I learned that, you know, you're an insurance salesman and I don't like that job. So I'm just going to be like, it's not you. It's me. I'm sorry. I'm just emotionally unavailable. And it's really just like, I think your job's stupid and you're lame.
But
when you're engaged.
It's a trial period, though. Engagement in a lot of ways is a... I mean, you could argue dating is a trial period. I would argue the engagement is really the trial period. I think that's when the relationship sometimes gets tested the most.
But
because you're planning,
but you're
something.
Already making the decision to get married.
Yeah,
that's
but
the,
it's...
that was before. Like my biggest moment was when I decided to go ring shopping.
Ugh.
That was the most I was like, okay, this is happening because I'm going to spend this much money on a ring. And this is getting serious. And I knew she was going to say yes. And I knew that we would have gotten married. I knew the outcome of the rest of the things. It wasn't like, okay, now we're engaged. Let's see if we want to get married. Because then you've already gotten engaged. And calling off the engagement is like a huge... Like, people judge you for that.
Yeah, not until you send out the save the dates. As long as you don't tell people to start reserving days of a calendar, I think you're fine. Once you tell people October 3rd, it's saved, then I think it becomes a problem because then someone's like, well, what do you mean you called it off? I've already reserved October 3rd.
I completely blacked out this day.
Yeah, I've canceled
all my massages.
Other plans. But I said the advice I gave, maybe it wasn't good advice, was I said, listen. Don't take it personally. She likes women, and you're not a woman, so that's how it's going to be. And I don't know if I made him feel any better. He hung up the phone crying, but I assume he felt better.
Talk to you later.
Temporarily felt better. But I was just wondering, when you went through a similar thing, do you think of that guy today? Do you know what that guy is up to today? And do you remember how he processed the idea of, I think it's way harder to lose someone. I said this to him as well. I said, if she said to you, listen, I want to call off the engagement. I've been seeing this other guy I met at the gym.
That would bother me more.
I said, how would that not bother you so much more? And he's like, yeah, I guess maybe it would.
It would, because then that's something that he feels that he could have changed. Like, he could have done something different for her to not leave him for another man. To answer your question, I don't know what my last boyfriend is doing. I really don't care what he's doing.
I do.
Like,
bring him in
guy.
Here. We booked him for Come on in.
No.
Here's Chet.
I think he was very upset when I broke up with him and heartbroken, but then he just started dating somebody else, and I don't know if he thinks about me, but I feel like on his end, it's kind of I would almost think, like, kind of a bragging right thing to be like, yeah, I dated this girl, and then she ended up being a lesbian. Like, in a way, he can now say that he hooked up with a lesbian, which is kind of isn't that a good thing for guys? Straight guys, don't they like that?
Yeah, but, yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess that's one of the things that you would like to be able to add to your, you know, sex bucket list.
Yeah, if you have like five women that left you to be lesbians, then that's kind of a bummer. But if you got one, that's kind of cool.
Interesting point on the Twitter at NTC Show, and that is, Allie, the word engagement has gay in it.
That's true.
I don't know
an enstratement.
I don't know how that applies to our conversation, but thanks for pointing that out. That's why we're there on the Twitter as well. So yeah, appreciate that.
We're a very engaging show.
Yes, we are.
But I think for this guy, like when I was in college and I dated a girl who was quote-unquote bisexual, but really I learned that she was just cheating on everybody and screwing everybody and was just kind of a general bad person. Not that sleeping around makes you a bad person. I'm saying she was being she was lying about it,
well,
and she was
right.
Hurting me and blah, blah, blah.
You're being manipulative.
But when she left me to go sleep with a guy, I was way more upset than if she had slept with a girl. Because I was like, I was angry that I couldn't offer her what she wanted.
Especially because you have such a big dong.
Yeah.
You would have thought.
I paid like $80 for this thing.
Well.
What are you talking about?
I guess maybe one of the things we're learning around here, and that's part of the reason we talk about a variety of different topics. Maybe we learn things, maybe we don't, is that obviously everyone's going to process a situation, a breakup, something like that, a dramatic moment differently. However, based on your experience that you just shared, he should be more upset that she's leaving him for a woman than for another guy. I was saying that he should be less upset about it and understand that maybe, and this is the only thing that he brought up that I think you could confirm or deny, and I did promise I would ask you, is he thinks that maybe she could be using another woman as like a palate cleanser sort of thing, like a sorbet.
That's not going to cleanse your palate. I'm just letting you know. That's going to really screw things up.
And really just so that she can kind of...
I still have this...
it's in the back of my... It's not lemony.
Is that hair? Oh. I think the only... my advice to him, come back at her and say, I'm okay with it.
Keep the engagement on.
Yep, and be like, you can date other chicks. That's fine.
Hmm.
And see what she says.
That's interesting.
Because then it'll force her to be like, actually, I just don't want to be with you. Or she'll be like, all right, cool. And why would he be, I mean, if he can be a part of it, then why ruin a good thing? Why make it a straight and gay engagement?
Yeah, that's a valid point as well. I mean, I just said you could marry two women and it could cut down on the cost of the wedding. And he said... He asked me if it's true that the girl's parents still have to pay. That was the tradition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds like a great gig. It sounds like a great deal for them if they have two women in the wedding. But I don't think that
so
even...
So then he doesn't have to pay at all.
I don't even think that happens anymore. I think that's like a dated thing that happened.
Man, I mean, now I'm jealous of polygamists.
That's when gay guys get married.
Like, has 18 wives. I haven't had to pay for a thing.
When two men get married, no one pays for the wedding. It's just...
it's free.
It's a free wedding. It's beautiful. That's why there's... Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. This is No Things Considered on the all-new Channel Q.
No Things Considered. We'll be right back. Channel Q. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
All right, it's that time in the show where we find out what things we're going to learn about at the beginning of next hour. News It or Lose It begins right now.
No Things Considered presents News It or Lose It.
All right, Kevin, story number one. Are you a modern-day workaholic? If you fit these three criteria, the answer is yes.
I'm interested in hearing about this because I think that the concept of being a workaholic is always changing, and also the concept of having like six jobs and that being normal is a new thing now. So,
but then also millennials are like, hey, I don't want to work, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah, let's news that story. I'd like to hear more. News that.
Officials launch an ice guessing contest in Vermont.
That's a big fat loss. Let's lose that one. I'm no interest
in
that.
I'm going to guess it's ice.
Probably ice as well. That'll be my guess. No. But who cares? Because we're going to lose that one.
Okay. 15 pigs with Instagrams you should absolutely be following.
Hmm.
I mean,
I'm such a fan of bacon as a food group that I would feel bad
looking at them alive.
Looking at a bunch of pictures of them wearing like overalls, hats and stuff. So I'm going to say lose that one.
So if there was an Instagram feed with bacon wearing overalls, would you get
it? I would say news it. News it right away. That is news. In fact, if that happens, break into whatever we're talking about and share that with me, please.
Ghosting, breadcrumbing, orbiting, but what is the new dating term bird boxing?
All right. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. News it. Let's news it.
All right. So we'll news those.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. We'll break down those stories, kick off the next hour of the show called No Things Considered, right here on the all-new Channel Q.
No Things Considered. Channel Q. We'll be right back. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
And just like that, we are back inside of your head. That's right. Don't go see a shrink. These voices inside of your head actually are supposed to be there because you are listening to the all-new Channel Q, No Things Considered. That is Allie, lesbian lady, right here. Kevin, straight man. I am the token straight man, and I believe the affirmative action hire, as Allie likes to call me around here.
Yep, you allowed us to check that box.
So I'm here, and it's about time that a white straight guy got a break in this biz, so it's good to sit here on the station that's giving everyone a voice, the all-new Channel Q. Thanks for checking us out, radio.com app. You got one of those smart speakers at home, eavesdropping on all of your conversations. Well, why don't you go ahead and turn the tables on that smart speaker by yelling out this phrase.
Oh, play Channel Q on radio.com.
Just like that, we are now infecting your kitchen, your bedroom, your bathroom, etc. And that's all you have to say. Once again, for those that are slow learners out there,
play Channel Q on radio.com. And make sure you really pronounce Q, because I think my Alexa screwed that up several times.
Yeah, I'm not saying all smart speakers are a little homophobic, but just be very clear on the Q part of Channel Q.
I think they started playing Channel 2 TV or
something. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Totally different. Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be with you. We will get into a bunch of things that we have planned this hour. May even learn from the animals. But before we get to any of that, it is time for us to news the stories that we said we would news and never mention the stories that we promised to lose a moment ago, and we begin with this one.
All right. Well, speaking of animals, bird boxing. Kevin, what do you think the term means? I know that we know what the bird box, the movie is, but bird boxing, the dating term, what do you think that has anything to do with?
Well, you know, I'm so confused. I know you've explained to me before ghosting everyone gets, and then it was breadcrumbing, like
ghosting,
you mentioned.
There's curving, there's breadcrumbing, there's orbiting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the one where they sit on the bench?
That's benching.
Oh, benching. Right. I should remember that.
Yeah. Orbiting is when you stop dating somebody, but you keep stalking them on social media.
Mm-hmm, pretty standard.
And then bird boxing. I actually thought that we were like going back to blind dating. I was like, cool, bird boxing, just going on dates blindfolded? That sounds like fun.
I think it's when you... I still haven't seen that whole movie. I've seen part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I was bored, so I put on a blindfold and fell asleep on the couch.
You're like,
the
why am I not watching this blindfolded?
I'm going to say that bird boxing is in a relationship means that you will only date people that resemble Sandra Bullock.
That would be great. That would be really hard to do. It means that it's actually doesn't even need to be about you. It's when someone you know is dating a total a-hole and they cannot see it. Like, they can't see that this person is a lying, dirty cheater, and they continue to date them. So you're like, oh, you know, she's dating that guy. He's been cheating on her for like 3 years and she knows, but she won't leave him. She's being a real bird boxer right now. So that's the new term. But I think we should throw that right out the window, and I think we should do bird boxing as blind Tinder swiping.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Isn't it? Like, you
so
just
much
go
more
through,
exciting.
You just close your eyes, you swipe left, you swipe right, you see who you match with, and then you just take the eyeballs out of the equation completely. It could change everything.
How about dating in the dark? We go to one, remember that restaurant that used to do that thing? Where you do, now you just go. That would be, for a guy like looks like I do, that would be my best friend. Go to a very dark place, not even candles, and you just... conversation, and you're just feeling each other's facial features, and then you got
the girl into paying.
Oh, you don't even pay, just walk right out the door. How are they gonna find you? It's beautiful. Bird boxing, everyone is very, it's very easy to judge other relationships from the outside. You know, when you're in the middle of it, sometimes you can't necessarily see the red flags.
Well, you think that your situation is different than other people's situations.
Yeah, and you also will say things like, well, they don't know how sweet they are when we're alone, or they don't know how you know,
you don't know how nice he is when he cheats on me.
Right, right. He always leaves a thank you note. So I don't. It's been very easy for me, and I've had friends that have dated people I've liked. I've had friends that have dated people I haven't liked. There's couples we've gone out with before. I said never again. I did not like that couple. I didn't like the way they interacted with each other. It made me uncomfortable the whole night. But they, for all I know, they're having the same conversations. They could be like, that was really weird when Kevin asked for his wife to hand him the butter. He didn't say thank you. What a jerk. And I, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, she didn't hand the butter quick enough, or I would have said thank you. No.
So man needs his butter.
But if that's the it's.
So do you think that either of our relationships would be considered bird boxing by any one of our friends?
Oh, yours is. We all talk about it.
No.
Yeah, we all talk about it behind your back.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, like friends that you've had since like high school or whatever.
We're all Team Katie, by the way. We're all on your wife's team.
Okay. She's the bird boxer?
She's the one with the bird. You're the one who can't see. No. She's the one that can't see what a disgrace you are. Yeah, we all see, though.
I'm a boxer. I actually just like people with boxes.
Yeah, that is, you love box in general.
Yeah, I love box.
So that's actually just a good term
take the bird and put it right out the window.
Be in a lesbian relationship. anyway, all right, so that is first story, news or lose it. Story number two.
All right, nearly half of employed Americans would classify themselves as modern-day workaholics. And usually, I guess now, the average that you would spend on staring at a screen if you're employed is 7.5 hours. So if you're an employed American, you are spending at least 7.5 hours a day staring at a screen, which is horrible for you.
Yeah, but how much of that time are you spending staring at a screen for work-related stuff?
I'd say three hours, maybe.
Oh, not even. I bet you it's 1 hour work-related stuff to 6.5 hours of just looking at other things.
Here's a baby panda I want to watch the video
of. Oh, God, baby panda. Maybe you're on birth watch, another pregnant giraffe. Got to check that out.
That's 7.5 hours right there.
Just that alone, yeah.
But how many of us are actually true-blooded workaholics? Well, researchers came up with a new criteria, and if you can check these three boxes, congratulations. Number one, you check your email immediately after waking up. It's the first thing you do in the morning. True or false?
It's definitely one of the first things I do in the morning. Sometimes I'll masturbate, depending on...
You check your email and you're like, oh my God, I forgot. Reminder. Well,
sometimes I get a very explicit spam mail and it sets me off. No, I think the first thing I do, I've tried to get out of the habit of immediately looking at my phone. For a while, that was the first thing I would do. Now it's usually a bunch of like news alerts that aren't really news. You know, it's a lot of those things that they send as, I'm like, oh man, look at all the stuff that happened in the past few hours while I was sleeping.
Yeah. CNN's like, it's cold.
Right. It'll be like something that either doesn't relate to me personally, or it'll say something like, you know, it turns out the next big food trend is going to be Bundt cakes. And I'm like, why is that a news alert?
But those alerts are kind of work-related. Every news alert is kind of part of our job, right?
Yeah.
So you are kind of working.
Well, it definitely helped me decide to invest all of my savings into a Bundt cake bakery. That's for damn sure. So, no, in general, though, I have stopped checking the emails right away, but within the first 5 minutes, no question.
Yeah. See, I would usually check. I would roll over, turn my alarm off, and then swipe up and immediately go to my email. And apparently that's really bad, and it means you're a workaholic. I try not to do that now. But the next one is you, on your day off, are thinking and worrying about work.
Yes.
And I feel like that's everybody, but
yeah.
I think not. That's not normal,
well,
I guess.
Well, that...
Like, you take one day off. I mean, I'm not even talking about weekends. Like, say it's, you know, you have like a holiday, Monday holiday, federal holiday, and you are supposed to just be out and enjoying yourself. You're thinking about work and how you had the day off, but you should be doing A, B, and C.
Well, Sunday depression is a real thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone experiences that. You're in the middle of the weekend, you're having fun, and then all of a sudden it kind of hits you that, ah, man.
Your stomach drops.
The week's about to start again, and then you have that moment in the evening. That's why HBO did such a great job of getting these great shows on Sunday night. It would make you forget about Sunday depression for a while.
Mm.
But when you get to a three-day weekend, you can sometimes, the Sunday depression just shifts to Monday depression, but also gets a little bit more severe, I think.
Yeah.
But when you have a random day off, you're taking a vacation. My dad used to always say this, and I didn't really get it at the time, but he would say, you know, you get a vacation, let's say you have a 6-day vacation. What's a standard vacation, right? You take like a week, let's say, you know, maybe you leave the Friday, you fly somewhere. He says usually it takes you about the first 4 days to
relax.
Get yourself into relaxation mode. And then you have maybe one day of vacation, like one day of actually being able to, before you have to start thinking about the fact that now the vacation is a very depressing outlook. But I get what he's saying. The vacation's almost over now. And then you've got to not only go back to work, but you have to go back to work and know that you're not going to have any time off for a while because you only get, you know, let's say two vacations a year.
You know, 4 days does seem like a lot, but I, for the first time in my life, took a 2 week vacation for my honeymoon. And I will say that after probably 4 or 5 days is when it was like, all right, this is super fun. I'm not thinking about anything anymore. Yeah. I'm literally just waking up and being like, what's next? And then there was probably 3 days at the end where I was like, oh, we got to go back soon. Oh, God, it's almost ending. Okay, this is our second to last day. Okay, this is our last day. And then the final last day was really just traveling. So if you think about it, for 2 week vacation, I really got like 6 day vacation.
Yeah, and that's because our brains are, we don't think about it like this, but we're processing so much more information, so much more on a more consistent basis, just because of always having a phone in our pocket, always being connected. That we're processing so much more. So when we try to go somewhere and unplug, it takes our brain a few, I'm not kidding. I don't even know scientifically, maybe more than a week, but it takes our brain a long time to kind of slow down again. That's the real thing. That's why they tell you don't look at your phone right before bed and everything like that. It's all about trying to get the brain to kind of like calm down a little bit.
Wow.
And so I think that by that rationale, we're all workaholics because You have to have great control over your mind and mental energy if you can completely shut off and not even think about work at all. And if you're like a lot of people that are working 4 or 5 different jobs, you've got to try to shut your brain off on 4 or 5 different jobs.
Well, the final criteria, just really quickly, is perfectly segues because it's, you feel like you're too busy to even take a vacation. You're like, okay, there's no possible way I can take a week off and actually go somewhere and do something fun because I have to work. But the difference, I think that what makes both of us workaholics is that my wife has no problem never thinking about work.
Yeah, I know.
She can transition into, I'm not going to think about this. I don't care what I have to do. She could have a list of things that are unfinished and she could instantly like, oh, Friday, 5 o'clock, vacation time. And you and I cannot make that switch. We need the 4 days.
She cannot think about work while drinking a martini while at work.
Yeah.
She could be sitting at her desk with a martini in hand going, I'm not even thinking about work. And you go, it's Monday at 10:30 in the morning. You should be thinking about work. And there are some people that have that ability to do that. And I don't, look, I'm not going to judge because I'm jealous. I think there's people, I'm not going to say their names, but there's people in this building that, you know, once again, don't necessarily think of what it is that we do as work, right? Because it's, you know, we get to talk into some microphones. We get to have a few laughs, get to chat about our lives, interact with people. It's definitely a different sort of job altogether. But when we're not here, we're always thinking about what could we do to make the show better. And according to the research, a lot.
True.
A lot.
Another martini?
Yes, please. Shaken this time.
Okay.
Be back in a moment. This is No Things Considered on the all-new Channel Q.
No Things Considered. We'll be right back. Channel Q. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
Channel Q is the station. Welcome to another edition, exciting edition of our show called No Things Considered. We just learned a lot in News It or Lose It. It's now time for us to talk about the gift giving that comes with this time of year. Allie was claiming earlier in the show, if you missed the last hour, that straight people, she believes, are ruining Valentine's Day. And I argued that it's really Instagram that's ruining Valentine's Day by setting the bar too high. But let me ask you, if there's a lot of things that the traditional gifts that people talk about, the flowers, the chocolates, et cetera. And I don't think those are necessarily gay or straight gifts. I don't know if you believe for even a moment that there are gifts that fall into the category of, oh, that's a gay gift or that's a straight gift. Now, I think there are male and female gifts, and I think that there is definitely an intersection in that Venn diagram where they can meet. For instance, usually if someone were buying chocolates, you would assume that was going to who?
Well, I mean, pretty much a lady, but I feel like men enjoy chocolate just as much as women do.
Not sometimes of the month.
Oh, when you at a certain time of the month for you, you're like way more into
chocolate. I don't like to eat chocolate right before I pay rent. That's how I am.
No, I never got that. I've never been like, oh my God, yay, chocolates. But I understand that a lot of women feel like that. And they're like,
Just stereotypically.
Lady Godivas and what I want to be in a relationship.
What do you believe the gender to be if I say flowers?
Lady. Right. I mean, this is all lady.
All right, very few.
Every gift is lady.
What if it's like bath stuff? Stuff
lady.
All right. Well, what if it's laundry detergent and a broom? Because that's what I got my wife this year. No, it's not true.
A broom?
Let me ask you, this is the real reason I bring this up. What if it was a subscription for sex toys? Every month, new sex toy shows up.
Oh, see, I would assume that that was a gay couple.
All right.
I wouldn't go gender anymore. I'd go gay or straight.
This is the point I am making now, because some company has launched sex toy subscription box for Valentine's Day.
Man, so much box talk today.
A lot of box talk. This is also called bird boxing. No, it's not called that. I can't say a lot of the things that are included in this because I think it changes and you fill out a questionnaire. Like, let's say you get, what's that thing my wife has? She has something where every month something shows up and it's got like beauty trial products.
Yeah. I know that
whatever
one.
Whatever it is. There's a million. We have a food thing that brings us food that we have to cook ourselves.
Katie does a million of them. She does a yogi box now.
Yeah. What do they give you?
Oh, they give you...
How many yoga mats do you need?
It's not even yoga mats. It's like, here's a necklace with a random crystal in it that means that you're going to have abundance or
return
whatever.
Return to like, sender.
And then she even got in one of her boxes. She tries to show everything to me to justify the purchase. Like, she'll be like, look, there's like a special meditation on this DVD that you never get. And I'm like, we don't have a DVD player and you can get every single meditation for free on YouTube.
Yeah. And including
she's like,
that one.
Yeah, and she's like, but this crystal has some kind of engraving in it that you can never get. But then the next month, they just send you a different array of more crap.
I actually believe, and I'm not being paid to endorse this company. I actually don't even know the name of the company that's doing this. I think this could be the first non-gender-based, non-sexual preference-based gift that could make both people in the relationship happy and could strengthen the relationship.
What about those shave boxes?
All right, that as well, obviously.
I mean, both people need to shave.
But I think even that stuff is very gender-based, just in how they, you know, if it's a pink razor or whatever else. This one, if every month you know, because sometimes you get into a relationship, you get into a bit of a rut, you know, realize, oh, man, we haven't had sex in a month. In a lot of ways, you have an arrival. Everyone loves to receive something in the mail. It doesn't happen often. Usually when it does, it's from Bed Bath & Beyond anyway. But more often, it's a coupon. But more often than not, you get a package. It arrives. It's got something that is going to facilitate intimacy, which I think is a great thing. And that's really that's one of the perks of a Valentine's Day this time of year. People, romantic, lingerie, et cetera. But so many of the gifts that are stereotypically Valentine's Day gifts, like we talked about, I think are... Usually it's like one person appreciates them and the other person does it because they feel like they have to do it. Whereas
this would
one,
actually be a couple's gift.
Yeah, I think this is truly a couple's gift.
This is basically Spencer's gift. Or Spencer's gift shop in a box, in a subscription box form.
But it's none of the dumb stuff there. It's
all, not like fuzzy dice?
I don't think it has those things where it's like lick neck. Well, maybe it does. But every month a new thing arrives. And if you say to yourself, hey, there's no shame, there's no judging here, because I think people still have that even in relationships. But you're going to have to handcuff me to the radiator because they showed up in the mail, and we're not going to waste money. So
wow, you have radiator money? That's
radiator money. Does not mean what it used to mean in the 20s.
I guess I just don't know that I would need that many sex toys, whereas it would necessitate getting a new box every month. Like, I've been in a relationship now for almost 10 years, and I can count on one hand the amount of sex toys that I've accumulated over that time period.
Actually just your hand.
It's just my hand. It's a handful. But I can't imagine what would be in that box that I would need more of it every month. Like, is there a new sex to, like, there's a new...
I'll give you an example of something that's in one of the boxes.
Yes, I would like to know. It's just more lube. It's just different flavors of lube.
It's just more. Every month, it's just more. That's actually the name of the company. It's more lube. One month, you could receive Sexploration vouchers. 52 weeks of adventure. And that, as you know, is one of my least favorite things to receive for any gift.
Vouchers.
A coupon, one of those, a coupon for a massage. And then when I try to cash them in, you know, my wife's like, what is this? I'm like, yeah. I don't know. You gave me a coupon for intimacy. And now you're saying it's not valid anymore?
Yeah.
The hell's this?
So those vouchers are up to the couple. So you can't. Well, like, those had no value, really.
Well, but they write stuff on them. They write stuff like, you know, this
lick
is
neck.
Lick neck, erotic massage. This one I don't think would be useful in your relationship, but it's a
C-ring.
A C-ring.
Again, I don't know why you would need a new one of those after a month.
Well, you don't get a new one every month. That's 1 month. That could be March, the month of the C-ring, I believe. Isn't that, I don't know, isn't it Chinese New Year? Isn't that...
Everyone who's born in the year of the C-ring is going to see the prosperity.
The point is you get a new thing every month. I assume there's a website you go to. You fill out what kind of relationship you're in, if you're a gay relationship, straight relationship, whatever, how long you've been together. You probably
have to fill out like fetish stuff, too.
Yeah, I would imagine, right?
Like, feet.
Or you just kind of say, how risky are you as a couple? You know, you don't want to immediately receive like a paddle right out of the gate. You know what I mean? You
got to
build
dwarf.
Into that. Right? All of a sudden, the little person comes out of the box, hardly breathe. Hi, I'm February. Nice to meet you.
Take this gag out of my mouth. Hold on.
But I actually think the concept of this is good, and
I think the concept is good. I just need to know more of what's in the box. I just don't know. Like with subscription services, I think it's just a lot of them. 99% of them are just tricking you into thinking you need more of that thing every single month.
Yes.
Like the only thing that applied to me that I really would have enjoyed, and this is another unisex gift, I think, is the Weed of the Month Club.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful gift.
You get different flowers, you get different edibles, you mm-hmm. get different ways of smoking or eating. That's a lovely thing that both people can enjoy.
You still get a C-ring, though.
You still throw in a C-ring and a dwarf.
Every subscription service, you get a C-ring. All right, just something I wanted to share. Maybe people need an idea. That's an interesting one. I may put some more thought into that as well. And, of course, you know, with free shipping, anything with free shipping, I'm on board. I don't even care what it is, as long as the shipping is free.
Yep, yep, yep.
We'll be back in a moment. This is No Things Considered, the all-new Channel Q.
No Things Considered, Channel Q. We'll be right back. No Things Considered, Channel Q.
Channel Q. It is a show called No Things Considered. That is Allie right there, Kevin right here, talking about things. And, of course, thanks for hanging out with us to kick off a brand new week. Good shows planned for you all week long. And this may be the week that we debut our new segment, Gayest of the Week. A lot of amazing people, gay people, doing either gay or straight things. But I've always said to Allie, we should profile one of these people each and every week, and we should make them officially our No Things Considered Channel Q Gayest of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If you know someone who fits the criteria, they're doing something amazing, something newsworthy. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that they're doing for the community. It's like I don't need a gay person that's doing a good job of collecting canned goods. But you
no,
know, any,
but
anyone,
if there's like a gay person who just set the new world record for longest toenails, send them in.
Is that a real person? Because I want to meet that person. I want to have them on ASAP.
I mean, if you're going to choose which to grow out and you choose toenails, that's a hard life that you're signing yourself up for.
Yeah, but I would imagine also because you've got the Birkenstocks on most of the time, there's a lot of room for those toenails to go. So I would guess that
I don't even have to do the buckles anymore. I'm just wrapping around my foot.
I would guess that if there is someone with the record of longest toenails, there's a good chance it's a lesbian in Birkenstocks. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, if you know someone that you think is worthy of the title, Gayest of the Week, please get them to us. You can hit us up on the socials at NTC Show, or of course you can find us always at We Are Channel Q on the radio.com app and on your radio, etc. Also on your smart speakers, just yell out this phrase,
play Channel Q on radio.com,
and just like that, we show up and we make your dinner party that much more enjoyable with those long toenails. When you were a rideshare driver, I know that's one of the many jobs you've had.
Okay, let me go back in the side job file cabinet. Okay.
When you did it, and maybe you're doing it again, who knows, but when you did do it, was that before there were lots of random people? Like, was that before they had pool and multiple random people?
I left right before they did pool.
So you never got to experience a bunch of strangers meeting for the first time in the backseat of your car?
No, and I really actually am sad that I missed out on that, because I really didn't. I mean, I enjoy as a passenger the awkwardness of all these people sitting in an Uber pool together. But, you know, people are actually using that to meet and date now.
Well, not only that, the amount of friendships that apparently are being formed in the back seat of strangers' cars is remarkable. And I would never think, you know, obviously I think a lot of the reason people do that when they get around and they go, oh, let's just Uber pool, it's cheaper, right? If I can either pay $10 to get where I'm going or $4 to get where I'm going, but I have to, you know, maybe pick some people up or drop some people up along the way.
Or you can pay the extra $5 to sit in silence, which is sometimes worth it.
Sometimes worth it. But think of all of these relationships that people are forming, not just, you know, dating relationships, but actual. We're sitting in the back seat. We got into a conversation. I often feel like the driver needs to be the moderator of the conversations. Like I think in a lot of ways, the driver's responsibility in that role, if that's the goal, is, all right, here's some topic options. What do you guys like? You know, I feel like they got to throw it out. I mean, they're in charge.
Pick a random one. Abortion. Go.
And go. By the way, we're sitting in really bad traffic, so this is going to go on for a while.
All right, Stacey, you have the talking stick. I think the opposite. I don't think it's up to the rideshare driver at all. I think that they are merely there to transport the people and that they are supposed to have their own experience however they want. I think that the it puts too much pressure on the rideshare driver to have to initiate conversation among strangers. That being said, I do think that it's an awkward, it's like we're now living in the age where, because there are services like rideshare driving and Airbnb and all that stuff, you're going into people's very private lives before you've really even met them. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're in an Uber pool and then you pull up to somebody's house and you see them walk out of their apartment. You have no idea who they are, but now you know where they live. And then they get in the car. For all they know, I could be a total weird murdery creep who now knows who they are and where they live and what their name is and all this stuff. Or it could be like, hey, you know what? You actually live right around the corner from me and you're saying, and I'm single, and now we're in an Uber pool together. This is a match made in heaven. Well, so it could go either way.
Once again, the murdery creeps ruin it for the rest of us, because I've said this before as well. You know, there was a concept, there was a long time when I say, this is amazing. I get a complete stranger to pull up to my house, help me load 7 pieces of luggage into his car, and then take me to the airport, and it's like, you know, half the price of a cab. And then I started hearing all these stories about rideshare drivers were learning very obviously about when people would be out of town, and then they were either able to use that information or share
right back to your house,
or share that information to immediately go right back and rob you. And so then I started thinking, well, now I have to wheel all my luggage a block down the street, and so they think I'm coming out of another house. So when they show up there later, there'll be a nice family there. And they can take the heat for me. But like you said, with the Airbnb and everything else, they live there for a while. They learn a little bit about your house. They like it. Maybe there's some things in there that they thoroughly enjoy and want. What's to say they don't have, and there are people that do this, I'm not making this up, that will sell information or will scout out locations.
Totally.
And then give that information to, maybe maybe I got no problem staying in an Airbnb, but I would never rob someone. But I don't mind sending a list of all of the things you have to a service that would then sell it to burglars.
Well, there are even people doing like the Breaking Bad method, where it's like, okay, let's find these houses that we know are going to be vacant, and let's just use that opportunity to make a little meth.
Oh, yeah, make some meth.
Or do a big, giant drug transaction. You drop off 17 pounds of weed. And then, you know, if we get caught, doesn't matter because I don't live in this house anymore.
Right. That's Airbnb, Air Breaking Bad. That's what they call it.
Airbnb.
Airbnb is a great idea.
Right. I don't know about you, but anytime I've stayed in an Airbnb by yourself when no one else is there, you look at people's stuff.
Well, that's good to hear, considering you stayed at my house for 3 days and watched my dog when I was away on a trip.
I didn't look through your stuff, but Katie did.
I'm sure she did. But let me say this much.
By the way, you really need to get that sex toy subscription box. You are lacking in that.
I have no sex toys around. I do feel that we, as you said, we give a lot of our personal stuff is available now to the masses, and we have these interactions with people that normally you
would creep you out.
Right, like a complete stranger. I've been in the car of multiple complete strangers. But I haven't been in the car of some of my best friends, like good friends.
Yeah.
I haven't been in their car yet,
yeah.
which is kind of weird to think about. I've stayed in the house of people I've never met before, or met, you know, briefly to get a key.
But you have friends that probably live in the same area whose houses you haven't
seen. Never been inside of their house.
Right.
I don't know if their house smells like old eggs. Probably does. Most of them do. So my question is, as a former rideshare driver and someone that now is in many ways facilitating these relationships, these hangouts, these meetings. I think there's people that sometimes get into these cars that don't even have a place to, they don't even have a place they need to go. They just want to be around people with forced conversation.
Mm-hmm. Or there's that weirdo who everybody else in the Uber pool is talking and having a thrilling conversation, and there's one person that's just silent and is like, nope, I'm absolutely not going to partake in this conversation, and I'm just going to basically be a voyeur or a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of eavesdrop and listen to everybody else's conversation.
That
I feel like that person's weird because they're going out of their way to completely remove themselves from a good conversation that's happening among strangers.
That person is probably just taking notes so they can find out where all the other people live so he can sell that information
exactly.
later to the places that will rob.
But, you know, I feel bad for the Uber driver or the rideshare driver because at the end of the day, they're still driving alone. All these other people are meeting each other and they're like, hey, let's exchange information. It's so great to meet you. And then you're the one who's like, well, my car was the place where you guys met and this connection formed. And then I just dropped you all off and now I'm alone.
Yeah, but have you ever had the experience where you get picked up by someone who's got their significant other riding shotgun? And now you're outnumbered and now it's you by yourself with the driver and their spouse or whatever. And they're sitting around having a conversation and now you're the weirdo in the backseat.
Wait, that your significant other is sitting shotgun?
No,
and you're
no. The driver has
their significant other?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? I've never seen that.
Oh, that's happens to me more often than not now.
What?
Yeah, the driver will be there. Their wife will be sitting, or the woman will be driving, go figure, and the guy will be sitting there. And then all of a sudden,
how are you going to get anywhere like that?
I'm just in the car now witnessing a relationship, having, you know, doing whatever, either fighting
or talking.
You're
basically their child.
Yeah. I get in the car seat, have a sippy cup. Next thing I know, I'm there.
Well, I have seen people, the drivers that will answer their phone and just be FaceTiming or talking to their significant other the entire time that they're taking me somewhere. And that bothers me because I'm like, hey, what about me? Can I be included in the conversation? But then another part of me is like, ooh, what's this relationship like? What are they fighting about?
I like the eavesdrop. The other thing I like, too, is it makes me feel super powerful, is when the driver will say to me, like if their phone rings, they'll say, hey, do you mind if I take this? Do you mind if I get this? And I'm like, whoa, I have so much power all of a sudden.
No.
Yeah, I say, you know what?
Let it you will text them the following.
I always say, let it ring a few more times. Don't come across as too needy, you know? Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. This is All Things Considered on the all-new, No Things Considered on the all-new Channel Q.
No Things Considered. We'll be right back. Channel Q. No Things Considered. Channel Q.
No Things Considered on the all-new Channel Q. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And just like that, we will go ahead and leave you in the capable hands of techno music and random other songs.
Yeah.
So that means that our time with you is up for now, but we'll be back again tomorrow. And as you know, Tuesdays, we bring you Just the Tip Tuesdays, share with you some things that will make your life better or at least not that much worse. Right?
Yeah. Or even playing field.
Even playing field. That's really what the goal is around here. You can always interact with us lots of ways. Hit us up on the socials. NTC Show. You can find us there for No Things Considered. Find Allie at Your Allie Johnson. She is not the original Allie Johnson, but in my personal estimation, she's about the fifth or sixth best one.
Mm-hmm. And I won't be the last.
And you can find me at The Kevin Klein. Also not the first one.
Nope.
The one that is...
A lot more successful ones. At least with mine, the other ones are not like hugely successful.
Yeah.
All of yours are like millionaires.
I am... and they're all professional. They're all successful in a variety of things. You've got a professional hockey player, I think an Academy Award-winning actor.
Who played a gay actor, too, in the movie.
Yeah, really. Unbelievable how many of them are doing better than I am. But here we are at the all-new Channel Q, and I think that's what they're jealous of, probably, right?
Sure. We'll find. I want to find a Kevin Klein that is just a total rando, that has actually a pretty crappy life. Can we find that?
Good luck. You could be looking at him right now, as a matter of fact. We will see you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, remember to support the station, downloadradio.com, give the station a favorite, Channel Q, share it with somebody today, grow the audience, etc. And we will see you tomorrow, same gay time, same gay station, right here on the all-new Channel Q. Until then, we say bye.
Curious.